I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Zone Time. We're a fun internet show where I'd like to think if you trusted each of us with the Stanley Cup, we wouldn't dent it.
That's not true.
Well, yeah. I would dent it immediately.
I'd like just
to be optimistic about that. I'm Julian. Justin Cuthbert is here. Sam Chang is here. Tic-Tac-Tomar is also here. Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche on winning the Stanley Cup. And shout out to Sam, who roots for the Colorado Avalanche, not the Vancouver Canucks, on her team winning the Stanley Cup. And of course, she is repping a Joe Sakic uni. Very stylish, very nice. Sam, how does it feel to cheer for a winning team? Omar was brought this up before we started. You are the first Zone Time member to see their team win the Stanley Cup. Congratulations.
Thank you. It feels great. I actually took so much flack from Canucks fans last night being like, yeah, but you cheer for like 2-3 teams. And I was like, yeah, it feels great. I feel no shame about this. Am I supposed to feel bad about that? Because I don't.
I don't know. I'm just making jokes and just like hating, but like, I'm sure there are people in purists who think, you know, hey, you should only cheer for one team. You should only suffer for one team. But the beauty of sports is that you're allowed to cheer for more than one team if you really want. Like,
I mean,
who cares?
But think about it. I had to cheer for the Canucks and the Avs when they came in 29th and 30th.
Yeah.
Like, I also had double the misery. Yeah. So I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, man. Like, I just remember that year, I forgot what season it was, when like Colorado had like 49 points or something. Like, oh, were they bad? And then like people are calling for like Joe Sakic's job. Like, I remember having like so many conversations, like, I don't know how he's still like employed. Like, it was bad. But then again, just to see like that point and to see them now again, like when it got announced, when like MacKinnon wrote a role raising the cup, like I thought of that quote from last year. And it's just like, you know, he finally won something. There are so many people on that team who finally got like their, you know, their moments with the cup, their more moment as a champion. So it's like, yeah. And Sam brought it up like a couple episodes ago, like the Colorado Avalanche are a team that have done it right. They've drafted, they have developed, they managed the cap. They made some unbelievable trades that literally paid off. It paid off in this playoff run. So like, it's such a deserving team. And it's honestly, it's so sick for them to win.
Absolutely. Cuff, I know we talked about this Avalanche victory on the Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast, which you should check out. It's a great podcast. Did really well throughout the postseason. So you got to give Cuff his flowers because he handled business throughout the postseason. I was just wondering, is there anyone on this Avalanche team, and then we'll spread out to everyone else, is there anyone on this Avalanche team, Cuff, who you were especially happy for to see win? I may have a guess with who you gave your tire pump to.
It's definitely Nazem Kadri for me. I don't think I gave my tire pump to him, but
no,
I mean,
you gave it to someone else who I thought you were going to say, but I also understand why you would give it to Nazem and not Jack Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, Kadri, I have some like experience with. Like, I covered the Leafs when he was a Leaf for a little bit, and I found him to be genuinely a very good dude that cared a lot about being a Maple Leaf. And the fact that I was taken away from him was unfortunate. I get he is somewhat responsible for that, but I rest the blame more so at the Maple Leafs themselves. And the fact that he was able to take his situation, land in a great spot, honestly, it couldn't have been a better spot to go to but to overcome what he's come from a, you know, when we're talking about suspensions and what he's gotten himself into, the way he turned his reputation around, his redemption arc, I couldn't be happier for him. And I think he's celebrated accordingly.
That's a really nice way to put it. Omar, who are you happiest for to see win the Stanley Cup? Is it MacKinnon or someone else? And then we'll get to Sam.
MacKinnon is definitely up there. I have a soft spot for players who have been on a team for so long when they were bad and were still on the team when they were good and able to win with them. So like Eric Johnson, like being on the team and again, being the second one to raise the cup was so cool. You know, seeing him and MacKinnon, I'm pretty sure it was MacKinnon he was hugging after the final buzzer. Like that was so cool and so wholesome. So it's like, I think it's moments like that just really, really show that like careers are long, man. And you can be on a bad team for a long time. You can be on a good team for a long time. You can be in different situations, traded, whatever, but like it could still take until like the end, the final years of your career to actually, you know, raise the cup as a champion. And I'm a sucker for those moments. So like seeing Eric Johnson raise it was solid for me.
There are a lot of people to choose from. Cause I think one of the things about this Avalanche team is like, it's a genuinely likable team. A lot of really likable guys, and their social media team did a great job over the last few years of selling their personalities to their fan base. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to narrow it down, but definitely the two who have been named, Kadri, just for all of the reasons that Kat said, and also just for the legendary response of "you can kiss my ass." I really loved seeing Gabriel Landeskog handed to Eric Johnson. I think those two, you know, it's well documented that they're like best friends. They were roommates. They're all over each other's Instagrams. Like I think Eric Johnson has a horse named after Gabriel Landeskog.
That's cool.
so that was a great moment. That's probably one of my favorite moments is those two.
Did anyone see the side-by-side of Eric Johnson, Nathan MacKinnon on the ice? And someone put up the photo of the couple from the Vancouver riots in 2011. Is that a work of art?
It is a work of art.
I didn't know I loved Eric Johnson until last night. I was like genuinely like, wow, I'm really happy for this guy who I really don't have any, like who he was as a person, really no idea, it seems, before last night. But I found myself pretty happy for him just being introduced to him, which was pretty cool as well.
I remember being in university and this one good friend of mine, we were both at the Link newspaper at Concordia at the same time. We would have debates in our sports office all the time about Eric Johnson being a number one defenseman. And I would love to rag on him at the fact that, you know, Eric Johnson, as good as he was not a true number one defenseman. And my friend feels pretty good about him now. And of course, the Colorado Avalanche. I feel so happy for that franchise. You're right. Like there are franchises, teams you know, even if you're in media, whatever, you don't really have any biases towards or anything like that. But there are teams where you just kind of look at, you're like, man, like this fan base makes it annoying, or, you know, a lot of people just kind of hate them. I can't really think of anything bad with the Colorado Avalanche. Yes, they were crap a couple of years ago, but I can't think of them as like a team that's like, you know, done me wrong or anything like that, or a team that's just bad. Like some of my earliest hockey memories are seeing Joe Sakic win a Stanley Cup and Raymond Bourque and Gary Thorne calling it all. Like this is a genuinely cool Stanley Cup win. Like I imagine a lot of hockey fans, like, unless you happen to live outside of Denver and you don't like Denver, maybe you're in Detroit or if you're in Tampa Bay, you don't like this. But like between Cale Makar winning, Nathan MacKinnon getting the job done, Gabriel Landeskog, Darcy Kemper found a way to go up against Andrei Vasilevsky and win that matchup when it looked as if he wasn't going to be the best goalie in that series. You could still make the argument that he wasn't, but he still did enough to win. Arturi Lehkonen, so many other pieces on that Colorado Avalanche team on top
Owen
of
Byram. Country and others. Owen Byram wasn't going to play hockey 6 months ago.
We didn't know that, and he ends up being a crucial part of that team. And throughout all that, they had all these other injuries that kept guys like Sam Girard out of the lineup, and they still won. Like, this is a genuinely cool story. Like, if we're following stories and we want to see the quote-unquote good guy win, I think we got our wish here.
Yeah, and then I think when it comes to just the aspect of, like, growing a game or, like, just, like, seeing a team win and then kind of wanting that to reflect on your own team, like, if you're a fan of like high-paced skilled hockey, like this has to be a win for you. Because again, we all, it happens all the time. The team wins the cup and all the GMs like, okay, cool. What do they have? Okay, we have to do that. And, you know, I think there's a reason why we're all hyped for this series, you know, ahead of time, literally two of the best teams in the league going at it, and seeing Colorado like play their game. Again, games one and two were probably my favorite of the series. And, you know, I think I like the closest of game six, but it's like, overall, it's just like, I'm very, very, very happy for a team that was able to exercise their demons in the playoffs and then win a championship. Kyle.
New hope.
Kyle. Anyway.
Can I just throw out something here? Yeah. I mentioned this at the end of the YSHP. I really think the Toronto Maple Leafs should trade for Corey Perry.
No.
Why, you want to give him like four straight?
But at the same time, if you're a Leafs fan, you'll take it.
Yes.
You will.
But no.
You will.
Yes, but no. I've been on record saying that if the Leafs ever make the final, they have to win. I will not survive a loss. I will not. I will be in a cage. Despite the fact that means, actually, wait, if they make the final, that means they won three series. So
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly why you'll be fine. You'll come back and be like, hey, the Leafs are good. They could come back and win the Stanley Cup the very next year. Y'all better take those three series wins.
Corey Perry might not be fine, though. If he loses again, I don't know how he'll react to that. I know I'm in the minority, but my heart breaks for the guy. Like, that's tough. That is really excruciating to go through three straight playoffs, not win once. It's tough.
Like I said before, he has a Stanley Cup ring in 2007 with the Ducks. I feel less bad.
Early.
He has a ring. Yeah. He has a ring on a really good Ducks team too. Like, and he has international success. There are people who have played in this league who have like nothing.
I had to spend all morning seeing people be like, Sedins don't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because they don't have a ring. That's what I spent my morning doing.
We will get to the Sedins and everyone else who got to the Hockey Hall of Fame, because I want to touch off on that because that was announced just before we started recording. Mm-hmm. I want to get to a few more Stanley Cup stuff. We'll wrap that up in a tiny little bow and then we'll get to Hockey Hall of Fame stuff. We did mention Nazem Kadri and the quote that he put up, basically telling everybody to kiss his ass. I have a take here. I know how everybody enjoyed Nikita Kucherov going shirtless and going off with the beer last year. I like that moment. I think Nazem Kadri had a better moment, and he said fewer words. He made the point, and I love it. And I felt that's the best post-Stanley Cup mic drop moment we may have ever seen, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. For a winning side, because you could say for a losing side, Lindy Ruff might have it. But for a winner, Nazem Kadri has it.
Yeah, I think the best thing about the quote is that it's a you know who you are quote. You know what I mean? Like he didn't have to name people. And this isn't to say that he was specifically talking about like Dubas or Shanahan or like media or whatever. It was a broad quote, but at the same time, it was also very pointed because even and again, this isn't only Toronto media, because again, Kadri got suspended last year too, and the same conversation was going up. Oh, there we go again. Now he's doing the same thing in Denver. He's costing the playoffs, so they'll never do anything. So let's not get it twisted and think that it was only a Toronto media thing. Yes, it was a big contribution, absolutely, but those takes were coming up last year as well. So I think that quote was for anyone who ever believed or ever thought that you couldn't like win or couldn't get anything done with Kadri in the playoffs. That quote was for you. Now, there's a lot of revisionist history going on because, you know, and again, you know, Cuthbert touched on it earlier. The situation was what it was. And at the time, the Leafs were in a very damned if they do, damned if they don't situation. Now, would have been, you know, good to have a better trade. Yeah, that would have been better. But at the time, there was kind of like a crossroads where it's either get flamed for trading Kadri or get flamed for not trading Kadri. So like at the time the trade made sense. And I will still say that at the time the trade made sense. It sucks that it didn't work out. Happy for him that he ended up going to a team that was able to use him well, and he was able to excel on. But like the revisionist history that I'm kind of seeing is a little irritating, because again, the trade did make sense, but doesn't take away from the fact that it's one of the greatest mic drops I've ever seen on live television. Like, I laughed openly, like when he said that, and just like the pure joy from him afterwards.
Yeah,
like it was
the grin on his face that really took the quote over the top. And I'm with you. I liked that it was broad, because I actually didn't even think about the Leafs or Leafs media. Yeah. I was thinking, like, he's a guy who even this year doesn't get suspended. And every single comment throughout the playoffs that I saw was, well, it's only a matter of time before he gets suspended. And so for him to make it all the way through, didn't do anything remotely suspendable this year, didn't do anything, like, you know, and to win the cup, I thought that was the perfect redemption arc. And I loved it, because he's, you know, like, yeah, has he made some dirty hits in the past? Yes. I'm not excusing him for doing those things, but like we've talked about before, his reputation for doing those things is a lot worse than a lot of other similar players, for all of the reasons we've talked about before, namely that he's a player of color. And so for him to go to like run this redemption story all the way back by himself, I loved it.
I love the quote, because I completely bit in the moment. I completely bit on it. I thought he was like going to be very kind and gracious, and he was going to thank everyone from, I mean, I think they were talking about people from Toronto, support from his hometown and around his hometown. I thought he was going to genuinely just say the nicest thing possible. And then he went stone faced and then delivered that line and then laughed his ass off. It was the perfect turn. It was like Conor McGregor's best moment on the mic after a fight. He just completely fell for it. It was awesome. I applaud him for it. He had a lot of time to think about it. And I think he executed it perfectly.
Could you imagine if Nazem Kadri was just like, I will apologize to absolutely nobody.
It was very close to that. It was very close to that.
Oh, man. So moving on from the ice to the eventual cup parade, who will be the most lit at the Colorado Avalanche Stanley Cup parade? Who do you think it'll be?
Larry Nutrishkin.
Huh. Really?
Interesting.
Did you see his Instagram post last night?
No. What were we missing?
Oh, I did see that.
I gotta show it to you.
Yeah, you gotta describe. You also gotta describe it for our audio listeners who are very faithful, listen to the podcast every week. For the people who listen over audio, however many of you, we appreciate every listener and viewer we get.
Not to spoil the surprise, but I believe it was a naked Nikushkin with a championship belt covering the So we'll pull that up. I think Kadri is going to be in the running. I think Bowen Byram is going to be in the running.
Yes.
I think he was into it. But there's a lot of good candidates.
My God.
Let's go.
Oh, my God.
That's good awesome.
Lord. Okay. All right. Well, good on Big Fat.
You have to think McKinnon's going to be up there, too. Because, like, man, think of all the jokes about McKinnon's, like, his routine and his diet and stuff. Like, do you think at this now would be the time to just cut loose? I finally did it. Like, I think like that's another person I think you can probably like talk about being the most excited. Like, he was like jumping around screaming when Landeskog was about to go get the puck, get the cup. He pushed him. Like, I could see him letting loose a little bit too. And I think I forgot who had the quote, but McKinnon said something along the lines of, I'm just paraphrasing here, that like, you know, at Crosby's cup parties, I think he would get the most drunk or whatever. Yes. So now it'd be interesting to see the kind of the reversal. So like, yeah, McKinnon, man, like let loose. This is your time. This is your time. Like go off. Like, that'd be funny. It'd be funny if he's the one who has the not really that's the slur, but I guess like the funny speech at the parade. Like, who was it for sure? Oh my God. Like Corey Crawford. When he went off on stage, like, it'd be funny to see McKinnon kind of let loose a little bit there.
I want to see McKinnon eat like quinoa out the Stanley Cup.
Oh, that's gonna happen.
Or like chickpea pasta or whatever. Like, he just continues to maintain his diet while eating out of the most illustrious trophy in pro sports.
Didn't he say he's like, I might get fat as shit or something like that?
So we might have Shake Shack. You're right.
Embrace it. Embrace it. Yes.
Man.
I think Bowen Byram, Kale McCarr's party is going to be like the most wholesome, nice thing ever. It's going to be, I want to see that for how like nice and respectful it's going to be versus like the most extreme party. Like I feel like the spectrum is going to be so wide between what we see with the Stanley Cup days or what we don't see, I guess.
Yeah. You're going to be like, see photos of his house. It's going to be like charcuterie boards everywhere. I mean, nothing wrong with charcuterie boards, but they are wholesome. Yeah. So what about the Tampa Bay Lightning here, man? Like, I know that they lost, but I don't think there's that much shame in them losing, man. Like, three consecutive Stanley Cup final appearances. They were this close to making a dynasty. I don't know if they're necessarily done. I think it'll be very tough for them to get back to the Stanley Cup final because of how tough it is for losing teams. But they are a very good Eastern Conference team, and Omar has his hand up, and he's not going to let that go. So I'm just going to let him go.
Since you started,
I know. So just go ahead, brother.
Can I just get like 3 minutes? Okay,
3 minutes.
Good Lord, just 3 minutes.
Fine. Okay.
No one has ever asked for 3 minutes before.
Before we get
specific,
before we get into Julian's question,
your timer is on now.
Thank you. It's a very important one. I don't know if I want to say embarrassed or if it was funny or I don't know, man, but the amount of whining that I saw on Twitter yesterday, oh, the refs screwed the Lightning. Oh, the league needs to investigate the officiating. What? Like, are you guys, like, we're talking about like the same playoffs that only had three suspensions. The same playoffs where Ryan McDonagh sent someone into flipping Narnia through the boards and only got 2 minutes. And the thing is like, it'd be one thing if it was just like a couple people. En masse, the complaints about officiating. And it's like, hey, officiating is not perfect. And you know why I know officiating isn't perfect? Here's another thing. You know what? We should get over officiating and you know, things just happen in hockey games and that's just the way it goes. That's just playoff hockey. You know what?
That's the way things go. Yeah,
that's the way. And you know why I know that, Julian? You know why I know that? Because Lightning fans were telling that to Leafs fans for the entirety of the first round. Anytime you complain about officiating, oh, you know, this is the playoffs. That's what happens. So now that that the shoe's on the other foot, now it's a problem. Now it's a problem. Okay. You know what? David Kemp should have apologized when he high sticked someone in the shoulder and got high sticking for it. Because you know what? Because Steven Stamkos can fire a puck at a ref and apologize. It's fine.
Was that 3 minutes?
Yeah.
I think that's like under 3 minutes. I'm actually really impressed.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, look, if we couldn't investigate the officiating in 2011 when Colin Campbell's kid literally played on one of the teams while he was he took a step back, I'm sure he did, I don't think you can investigate anything thereafter. But on top of your point, it wasn't just on Twitter, it wasn't just the whining that you saw from fans, which, like, fair enough, I think every fan base does it, you whine when the calls go against you. It was the whining from the team. Like, up until this season, I enjoyed Tampa. I did not care that they circumvented the cap. Like, you know what? You want to take advantage of the rules, go for it. I enjoyed watching them play. But this postseason, more than any postseason before, it was like, somebody said last week, John Cooper's like allergic to giving credit to other teams.
Someone did that.
It was Stamkos just complaining nonstop. Like, the whining from the team, Pat Maroon losing his shit because Belmar fell during that play. Like, all of it together was just so ridiculous. It was so
over
the top. Don't
forget Kucherov on the bench with 20-something seconds left.
That was wild.
Yeah.
Like,
was
checking
that?
His glove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
Cuff nailed it. Cuff had this Cuff's tweet last night, I thought, was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, while they were losing, they didn't know how to lose.
Yep.
And clearly it's been, you know, it's been very rare for them to lose 11 straight victories. They didn't really know how to handle it. And honestly, I think that's why they lost game six. Once they gave up the lead, they just lost it. Like, everything they did over the next 5 minutes was, you know, self-destructive, and they couldn't get themselves back into the game. I will give them credit though. the whining and all that stuff stopped once the result was in hand. And I think John Cooper did redeem himself to a certain extent with what he said in the post game. And I think the players were fine. Like, I think once they got, when they were in the heat of battle, when it was very emotional, they were extremely emotional and it wasn't the greatest look. I think they're, we talked about them being villains earlier today, Julian. And I think they're going to become more and more of that if they continue to be a very competitive team, partly because of what we saw. But after they lost, I think it was fine. While they were losing, wasn't so impressive.
Yeah, that's it, man. I think the Tampa Bay Lightning, the way they went about this series, this firmly implants them as the villain of the National Hockey League. And you need villains in sport. And it's fine that Tampa Bay is that villain.
Yeah, I want to clarify. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I thought it was highly entertaining that they were behaving the way they were behaving.
For sure.
That was like, it was good versus evil at a certain point. Like, that's, I'm not a movie guy, but I know movies are based on that sort of thing. That's entertaining. People like that. And it was a great Stanley Cup final, partly for that reason.
Yeah, we got to make sure Cuff is up on some of these movies here. He made a Batman Dark Knight reference in the Iowa Sports Hockey podcast.
I have my lane now, baby. It's preteen musicals.
Oh, my God. Let's be careful about how you word that. But yeah, like, I think with the Lightning. Yes, exactly. The way that the Lightning went about that series, like, I can totally understand why some, like, even a neutral or someone who was all, you know, gung-ho on saying, hey, those guys cheated for going however million over the cap. If they really just had this, like, bred up hatred for this team now because of how they handled the OT call and Kucherov throwing his stuff at the bench, like, they look like villains. They look like, remember the Incredibles, Omar, with, was the name of the young superhero, like, Buddy turns into Syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, like, nobody was really messing with him. And then he got real successful and then he turned into a real asshole. And I'm not saying the Lightning were assholes, but the come up is very similar. If you're in a position where everyone was roasting you at one point, remember in 2019, everybody was roasting them. Then you get to a point where you start winning, you start doing really well, and you turn to a real jerk about winning and you do not like to lose. That's basically what the Tampa Bay Lightning have become.
Yeah. And Dark Knight, either you die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And yeah, I mean, listen, does Tampa losing this time, like, take away from their, like, dynasty aspect? No, I think they can be right back at it next year.
Do you think it's a dynasty?
I mean,
I know you do.
Easy.
I know you do.
It's the time between the two cups that I think makes it incredible. And also the nature of the 2020 cup win and the fact that it was a bubble. And I know a lot of people, like, say, like, oh, it was Asterisk cup because of the bubble. I will still say that was the hardest cup to win because, again, you're taking people coming off. Like, when you're going to the playoffs, usually people are going, like, 60%, 70%. They have this injury, that injury, that injury. There was a huge break. That was probably the healthiest playoffs, like, that we've gotten in, like, the longest time, if not ever. So that was a difficult cup to win. So yeah, like, honestly, like, you know, Tampa, like, them losing, I don't think takes away from anything. And again, I think they'll be right back at it next year because of Andrei Vasilevskiy. Andrei Vasilevskiy will carry this team. Not carry this team. Obviously, they have superstars. I mean, the fact that Braden Point barely played in this series or in this playoffs and in general sense, like, you know, is another factor as well. But, like, you know, Tampa will do what they always do. They'll you know, jiggle around throughout the offseason. They'll make some great additions at the trade deadline, and they'll probably be right back at it. So, you know, it's fine. You'll be okay. You'll be all right. Just, you know, just the refs screw over everyone. Acknowledge the fact that you benefited from some refereeing stuff, Islanders fans. So, you know, just, you know, that surprised me the most. Like, when, like, the whole offside talk, I'm like, so we just completely forgot that, like, what happened against Islanders, seven players. No, we just, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that's it, man. Too many men on the ice. That was wild to see that all play out the way that it did. Like, we were looking at footage, we were looking at clips, we were looking at tweets, we were looking at Michael Stevens's game sheet that he got that had all the different, like, numbers of players, what, like, you know, too many men on the ice. Like, that was one of the wilder things to keep track of in recent memory, in light of that. And then John Cooper had to go WWE on everybody saying, you guys are going to see the footage and you'll know what's up. I thought that was really annoying.
I was terrified that every time the whistle blew, I was terrified that he would be like influencing an actual Too Many Men call. Like, I know what happened at the end of game 5, but like, I thought he was going to get one like per game. And I was going to be like complete eye roll as much as I possibly could with the referees taking what he did after game 4 and applying it, like watching it really closely. Like, give me a break. That would have been, I know what happened, but I thought it was going to happen again in game 6. And I was just bracing for it in the moment.
Omar, don't you have thoughts on John Cooper you wanted to share? Maybe I'm wrong.
No, that was last week, but I will say that I'm really looking forward to see what the next big penalty is. Every year in the preseason, they're like, oh, we're gonna crack down on this. It's gonna be too many men. That's it. As soon as one person touches, whoop, hand off, too many men, bench minor, you're out, gone. Then October will be a shit show, and then we'll move on. There's always something. There's always one thing that they need to like revamp, and they say, okay, we're gonna focus on this and make it better, or whatever. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, we're gonna get new lines on the ice, a little box that you have to skate into in order to be officially off the ice, and then we're gonna have video review for that, and we're gonna make it the slipperiest slope ever, and hockey is going to suffer for it.
No, that won't happen.
How about that prediction?
No, that won't happen because Andre Vasilevsky can play the puck outside the trapezoid and not get a penalty for that.
Okay, guys, I don't know where all this slander towards officiating come from. Gary Bettman said the refs are the best in the world.
Not slander if it's true.
Right?
That's true.
Right?
Like, that's actually true.
I know it will never happen. I know it will never happen, but like, it would be so cool if one day a ref was like, you know what? I know we're bad, but we're trying. I'd be like, you know what? I respect you. I respect that. That's fine. It will never happen. It'll never happen, but it'd be cool. That'd be awesome. That'd be funny.
Just more or less what Tim Peel said on the hot mic.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That is exactly what I was going to say. The closest we're going to get is Tim Peel acknowledging that a makeup call is going to be made. That's as close as we'll get to that.
That's so true. That is so oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, this... You think
if Tim Peel... Go ahead, Sam, before I make my point.
Oh, Tim Peel for sure falls within the scope of Nazem Kadri's post-game comments.
Oh. Ooh. 1,000%.
I was just gonna say, if Tim Peel ever said, hey guys, I want to be on Zone Time, how would we react to Tim Peel being on Zone Time?
It's your show, man.
Be fun.
It's your show, man. All right, I'm gonna leave it at that before we get into more trouble here. We'll end off with the incoming class of the Hockey Hall of Fame for 2022. Herb Carnegie going in as a builder, very big, the best Black player to have never made the National Hockey League, played with a young Jean Béliveau when he was up in Quebec. We know about some of the racism that he endured, most notably the alleged story that the Leafs owner at the time, Conn Smythe, we gotta think about that name, by the way, Conn Smythe, maybe would have wanted Herb Carnegie on his team if he was white. May or may not have even wanted to throw money at someone to make that happen. That's all alleged. If you don't know much about the story of Herb Carnegie and all of the work that he's done for hockey with creating schools and being named to the Order of Canada, I hope you take the time to learn about Herb Carnegie. And I hope you also have that same energy for Riikka Salonen, who is one of the most decorated women's players internationally. A two-time bronze medalist, 20 years between bronze medals won, one winning at the 98 games in Nagano and winning in 2018 in Pyeongchang. The oldest Finn, I believe, the oldest Finn in hockey, either men or on the women's side, to win a medal at the Olympic Games, surpassing the record set by Teemu Selanne, and a bunch of medals at the world championship level, and a three-time European champion. So please take the time, because I know we're going to talk a little bit more about the NHLers in this, but take the time to look up the story of Herb Carnegie and Riikka Salonen. But in the meantime, Daniel Alfredsson, Roberto Luongo, and the Sedin twins, those four also will be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Sam, you must be happy to see this Vancouver Canucks representation as you wear your Colorado Avalanche.
I'm going to say, this feels wrong.
Oh,
it's like, now it does feel wrong.
Oh, okay. Now you know.
It's like the entire leadership core from 10 years ago. Thank you.
Let me just go change into my Canucks jersey.
Yeah. Look, we'll give you the time. But in all seriousness, really awesome to see those three players who also played a big role in the Canucks being the Canucks over the last decade or so. And I mean, 2011, maybe Corey Schneider should have played that game seven, but I digress. But we don't need to get into that debate. But any thoughts on those three playing and getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I think those are all deserving players. And for the number of people I saw commenting in reply that the Sedins and Luongo never won anything and that they were overrated, like, you just never watched the Canucks play. That's all I've got to say to you. Like, you never watched the Sedins play a single shift. If you still somehow think they're soft, you never watched the Sedins play a single shift. And you should probably go watch some of the footage of the Sedins play, because that is some of the best hockey I have ever seen. Like, the things they did were ridiculous. And if you missed out on that, that's your loss.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Man. Like the Sedins being in the NHL, like twins playing on the same team at that level.
Like, drafted one after the other.
Blew my mind. And then just like, to Sam's point, seeing what they could do, like the bank pass off the boards, like those plays, like that's vintage Sedin, man. So it's just like, They were, are, and always will be like incredible parts of like the NHL's history. And yeah, like, you know, seeing them in the Hall of Fame, like regardless of cups and stuff, like, come on. Like, yes, cups are important for sure. But like you don't have to win a cup to still be like, you know, a high influencing player or a member of the NHL and of hockey. And, you know, if you're going to say that the Sedin twins aren't deserving of that, then yeah, to Sam's point, like, you never watched them play, because like, again, to their point, they did a fun, like the things they did for the league, especially in the time where the league was starting to get more and more skilled. It was just like unfounded what they were doing. So like, I'm just, you know, extremely psyched for them to make it. And Luongo's hilarious. Did anyone see his tweet? He's like, best line in hockey, Luongo's.
Sedin.
Hilarious. So yeah.
The other thing to that point about the Stanley Cup thing that bothers me is it's the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's not the NHL Hall of Fame. It's the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yes.
People go in who did not play in the NHL. And it's also one of the reasons that it bothers me that women, they have a bylaw limiting every class to two women and they don't even use both spots. And I would like someone to explain to me why every class is limited to two women. Like, what is the reason behind this? For the Hockey Hall of Fame.
That's a very valid question.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. I don't even understand how they can have that rule in place and, you know, not be, have their feet held to the fire. I don't know. That's just ridiculous. But just on the Sedins, it was a Hall of Fame partnership. Would they have stood alone as Hall of Famers if Brian Burke didn't swoop in and make sure that they played on the same team? I'm not really sure. But what they did together was Hall of Fame worthy. They helped transcend the game. They helped grow the game. They helped basically, you know, they're part of setting the tone for what is a more skill focused, I wouldn't say fast because they weren't Blazers, but a skill focused, more creative, more exciting brand of hockey that we have now. I think they played a major role in that. And I think that when they were together and when they were on, they were definitely Hall of Fame worthy. Of course, Roberto Luongo is a definite. Not sure about Daniel Alfredson, but I'm not too mad about it.
I think it's
a pretty good class. And these classes are getting more and more enjoyable because there's more familiarity, I think, as these players, you know, as we get older, as they get older, as we're more familiar with them, which is nice. But Sam's right about, like, why? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that they limited the two. Like, that doesn't make any sense. There's so many great women to play
and to not use them.
And they don't use both.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
I think the last 2 years, they actually had no women in either class.
Okay, great. So thanks for clarifying the only two and then not using any of them. That's great. Thanks. Awesome.
Only two is the most, it's just so silly.
I think that's so stupid. The one thing I'll say about the Sedins is the highlight of my 17th birthday is being at a house party with a bunch of my high school friends, and at the stroke of midnight, seeing the Sedins combine on one of the most awesome goals I have ever seen The little play in the offensive zone leading to the tweener beating it was a net for the Calgary Flames that night. I lost my mind. That was one of the first things I remember watching as the clock turned midnight. I was like, it's my birthday. Holy crap. I just saw the goal of the year. Thank you for all the memories of the Sedin twins, because you two coming together, Daniel and Henrik, producing a lot of magic. Roberto Luongo, by the way, I know I kind of said, you know, maybe he shouldn't have started that game 7 of the Cup final. We need to give that man his flowers for how he played in the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver. He balled out. Mm-hmm. He was incredible throughout that stretch of postseason. Look, remember the golden goal. Remember how great Jonathan Toews was. Roberto Luongo stood on his head throughout all of his appearances throughout the tournament. Remember, I think of the semifinal game against Slovakia, a very late save on Pavel Dimitra. God rest his soul. To good keep memory. Canada in it. Hey, look, like that stays in my head. Roberto Luongo deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And if he's in the Hall of Fame, then imagine Carey Price's candidacy. But that's going to be a whole other discussion for a whole other day. But Roberto Luongo, happy for those three. Daniel Alfredsson. I want to talk about Daniel Alfredsson. A part of one of the best lines in hockey with Jason Spezza and Danny Heatley. A guy who helped make the Ottawa Senators as relevant as he was. Every time I think of Danny Heatley, I think NHL All-Star Danny Heatley. Daniel Alfredsson basically made the Ottawa Senators relevant as long as he was there. Also, another person who has achieved international success with Team Sweden. Remember that 2006 Olympics no one likes to talk about because of how bad Canada did? Yeah, well, Daniel Alfredsson was one of the many winners for Team Sweden that year in Torino. I don't necessarily have a problem with him being in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I thought it was really cool to see everybody step up and say, hey, Daniel Alfredsson deserves to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. A really productive player, a guy who embodied the franchise of the Ottawa Senators. And I think you need guys who are the embodiment of their franchise and are statistically like really good, even if they don't necessarily have an overload of accolades to show for it. I think it's a cool gesture to see him in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I don't have any problem with it.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a problem with it either. Now, bias here. As a Leafs fan, I spent many a year being lit up by Daniel Alfredsson. So, you know, and then
lit up Daniel Alfredsson too. You guys pushed back.
Yeah. Those are the days back when the Leafs were the team that should have lost, but they won. Good times. But yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, the games played, you know, the point totals, I think, you know, to Julian's point, it's the effect on the league. You know, we talk about, like, you know, the Sedin twins, what they had and what their effect they had on Vancouver. Again, I know a lot of people who, like, started watching, like, hockey because of that cup run, again, centered around the Sedins and the Canucks. And I think, you know, at the time, and especially growing up in Toronto when the Leafs sucked, you saw a lot of people walking, and I had a lot of people, like, in my grade one and grade two classes with, like, Ottawa Sens, Alfredsson stuff. So, you know, I think when it comes down to the recognition and what he did for the organization, I think how that spread across the league, you know, I don't hate it. I understand it definitely. I understand where the push and the pull and I guess the support came for it this time.
Anyone else with general thoughts on Daniel Alfredsson before we wrap up?
Nah, I'm just at the point now where you can, like, does it feel like a Hall of Famer? And does he feel like a Hall of Famer to me? Maybe not quite, but again, not too mad at it.
Okay, well, yeah. I don't think we're that mad about the names. Yeah, I think we could live with that.
It's interesting. Steve Dangle had this. I don't know if he tweeted it or if he said it on.
Who's
on
that?
That's so funny.
kidding.
He said this. Oh, I don't even know when, but it's just like they're having a conversation about, you know, is blank a Hall of Famer. And if you kind of have to do the whole, like, I don't know, if you kind of have to think about it, then maybe they're not like a whole shoe in for it. But, like, you can name, like, a bunch of players. It's like this player. Yeah. That player. Yeah. That player. Yeah. This player. You know, where we kind of have to make a case for it. So I think I understand where Cuthbert is coming on that point. I think if you have Daniel Alfredsson in Hall of Famer, I don't think a large amount of people would say like, oh yeah, absolutely, you know, versus like the Sedins or even versus like Luongo, for example, or like other players like, you know, who have you know gotten the honor over the years, like Jerome McGinley, for example. Like Jerome McGinley didn't win a cup, I knew for sure as hell he was going in the Hall of Fame. And if he wouldn't, I would have raged. I understand where, dude, man, if Ginla was not in the Hall of Fame,
I would have lost my mind. There's no way you don't put a player of Jerome McGinley's caliber in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. I'll say this about Alfredson, we can wrap up here, but to your point about, you know, if you have to think a lot about a guy, it doesn't always reflect well on their candidacy. I'm willing to make the argument that Daniel Alfredson is someone you should at least think about. I know I mentioned a few things earlier. He's also the first European-born captain to lead his team to the Stanley Cup final. He was at least nominated for a Selke trophy. He led Team Sweden in scoring the year they won the gold medal in 2006. Also, and I didn't realize this, the first ever player to score in an NHL shootout. Yep. Him and Danny Heatley in 05-06, the first players to score in the shootout. They made history.
Huh.
I wonder if that'll end up on his plaque.
That's a really great question. Who knows? Maybe it might never will, but he could always tell everyone, I'm a Hall of Famer and you're not.
Yeah, you know, what's another like random thought I thought about? Like this is like a couple days ago, and this has nothing to do with the Hall of Fame.
That is fine. That is fine.
Do you know who the first team and coach was to successfully have a coach's challenge and win?
Pittsburgh?
No.
Oh God, who is it? Can I have a hint?
Leaf related.
Yeah, Leaf related.
Yeah, that's actually
Mike Jeffrey Babcock. The coach challenge the first year was eligible, it worked. I laughed. Good times. It's probably the only good thing for the city. Oh, anyway.
I will say I think Alfredson deserves to be in, but whether he deserves to be in ahead of some other people who haven't made it in yet is probably where is the hill I die on.
Well, hey man, like look, the more the merrier. Like there's no cap on the amount of people who should be in the Hall of Fame. Maybe every year. And you don't want to be
standard though.
I agree there should be a standard, but do we really think Daniel Alfredson messes up that standard?
No,
I don't think he does.
I think it's already blurred.
How do the other people, like, how is McGillney not in the Hall of Fame?
Alexander McGillney should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like, I don't know what the deal.
Like, what did he do to the selection committee?
Because he has the stats. I'd have McGillney over Alfredson. He has a cup. Like he has the stats. He has a Stanley Cup. Like what? Yeah, why isn't he in?
Didn't he have like a 76 goal season or something?
Like the numbers. Look at him in the 90s. He was insane. I was like, how come we don't talk about Alexander McGillney the same way that we do about so many other great players from that 90s era?
There has to be a story there.
There has to be something going on with Alexander McGillney.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I changed my answer. I think it's hilarious because like I keep forgetting every year that he's not in it. You know what
he's
I mean?
A triple gold club member.
I keep forgetting that he's not in it. Yeah, there's a story. I'm fascinated to know, like,
something ain't right, and it's about time that we find out, but we don't have enough time to go into that because we're at the end of this week's edition of Zone Time. Mm-hmm. The playoffs are done, the offseason is in full swing. We're not done just yet, though. We have an NHL draft coming up, free agency coming up, still some coaching vacancies to deal with. We have a lot of fun stuff to get to before we decide to take off for the summer. But in the meantime, thank you all so much for enjoying Zone Time. Thank you all panelists for being on this week's edition and enjoying the Stanley Cup playoffs. This was really fun to watch over all these games and do these playoff episodes. Always a pleasure doing Zone Time with you guys. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll be back next week with a brand spanking new episode.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.